Hello everyone and welcome to the show, and today we've got back Susan Kornacki. How are you going, Susan?
I am doing well today from sunny California. How are you, Pete?
Good. Now, I've had you on the show in the past. Would you mind just going over just a little bit of who you are and a little bit of your background, just for the viewers and listeners that don't know about you?
Sure. I am, since this show is a lot about extraterrestrial connections, I have ET connections and have had them ever since I incarnated in. I didn't know that was weird or unusual. It was just something that I knew as part of who I am and was, and grew up in a very traditional family in New England, Massachusetts, which is on the East Coast of the United States, and pretty much led as much as humanly possible a normal life. You know, went to high school and went to college and went to graduate school, and then worked in the business world for a significant period of time until, you know, I couldn't hold up that, what I call that front anymore, and really needed to explore the greater depth of my soul and listen to the universe because it was calling. And a lot of the contact experiences that I had woke me up to do things much differently. So that's where I'm at today, is living a life that is very much in alignment with what the ether is connecting with me to do, I guess, for lack of better words. So scary in some regard, you know, leaving a pretty mainstream life and opening up to something, you know, very different. And now really working on ways to integrate the wholeness of where I've been and what I've done over the last couple of years. Because, you know, I just went to a gathering last night here in Los Angeles, and it is amazing because people are waking up and all these different silos and groups, like different meditation groups and people that were into this spirituality or that form or practice. It seems like it's all coming together now. It seems like there's an appreciation for different modalities of meditation, whether it be transcendental meditation or the oneness community, which some people have heard of. So, you know, there's these different groups and pockets of people that have done these things, and now it seems like, you know, there's an emergence of this coming together. And I still try to seek out contactees when I'm in these places to say, you know, where are they? Because the contactee community is something that is near and dear and close to my heart, because I've always felt there's a different resonance with people who have had contact. So that was a little bit of a longer introduction. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's going into where things are now. It seems there are more groups getting out there, like, you know, meditation type groups. I've just moved to Melbourne in the last few months, and just the amount of people and groups I've come across, it's actually makes me just feel good about the human race seeing this, because where I'm from in other places, it wasn't too much like that. Actually, I was sort of a lot of us are the odd ones out, but you come to a place like this, I thought I'd be more of a fish out of water, but I'm surprised with Melbourne, a couple of million people, how many people are into all different facets of this type of thing and are open-minded and, willing to even talk or go into different things that are metaphysical. So it's good to see that happening around the world.
Yeah, it is. It's encouraging. It gives me a lot of hope because, you know, I think a lot of us who've had contact, you know, it's almost like there's a jolt of energy that you are connected to and that you carry that really is different. And because of that, it moves you in different places, and you move with it in different places. And when you can actually find that connection with other people, you can relax a little bit because you realize, oh, I can now hook into this brother and this sister and, you know, this group of people because, you know, they get it. And I'm not having to carry a lot of this or all of this at this point. And, you know, there's a sense of union. And now, you know, what I feel is like, okay, we don't have to talk so much about whether or not these things exist. We're now at a point of being creative and moving forward and learning and working with one another in a much more cohesive way. So it's very good in that regard. And I'm encouraged to hear you say that for you, because you know, that's what we need. We need to feel that, to have that acceptance. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is. How has it been for you going from mainstream, I guess, life to just going, well, what I got told, and see, I packed up a flat where I was pretty comfortable, and if I left and everything went to crap, it went to crap. And I drove 2,000 kilometres up to Queensland away with $500 in my wallet, and I kept on hearing, go with the flow, go with the flow, go with the flow. And then I met a beautiful lady and I drove back over 2,000 kilometres and now everything's good. But if I didn't go with the flow, what happens is the human side, the body computer, which we've got to incorporate because we're here for that. We're here for that experience. We're here to bring other realities in. But it's like, should I be doing this? This is not the norm. You know, and it's like, I don't have the 5-day week job, 8 hours a day, working my ass off, and you know, some family, some friends, society look down upon that, but I'm still trying to break through that program, and I've been doing that for a few years now, just going with the flow. But how's it been for you going from one format to another? Because it's part of the journey, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's, you know, I love my home. I love my house. Let me tell you that. So it was a sanctuary for me from a standpoint of comfort and peace. So when I left my home, I remember looking at this beautiful house, you know, that was designed, you know, we designed it, and then my brother actually built it. So I remember looking at this house going, bye. I've got, you know, it's time to go. I'm really going into the unknown. I know I have to do this. I know it's something that is part of my destiny. And the current was so strong, like literally the current inside of me was so strong. And I kid you not, the night before I was leaving to make the decision to go to Hawaii, I had several ships show up, because I think it's almost like somebody knew she might bail out of this. She might not do this. And I had several of them show up. I remember literally just looking outside and being completely perplexed, like, how are they here and why are they moving back and forth? And, oh my God, like, what is happening? What is going on? But it was incredibly important for me to do that, to make the move and go. And I had a lot of resistance, you know. I wasn't like, oh, I'm just going to go with the flow and so be it. It was like I was holding on to the tree going, no, I don't want to do this. And, you know, I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of trepidation in regards to it. And, you know, as I made that move and made that decision, so many things were not easy in regards to it. It wasn't like I went and everything was fine. You know, there's an incredible amount of challenges along the way, and also an incredible amount of aliveness and awakeness and an understanding as to why I'm really here and the next piece of what am I really doing. And, you know, touching things on a much more global scale than I could have done previously. And that makes me feel good to do that. So, you know, the shift and the change wasn't easy. But what I could tell you is that, you know, I clearly feel like I'm on mission. I clearly feel I'm on mission. And I mean, there's a lot to it right now. There's a lot of understandings that have come in. And, you know, if you're in an environment that feels a little challenging in some ways, it's, you know, can you still connect with your source? Can you still connect with your higher self? Can you still, you know, even connect with the beings that have been a part of your life or, you know, your time here and then, of course, then some. And, you know, that's now coming to more fruition at this point. So it's almost like through these shifts and through these big changes, it's almost like we're navigating with these different energies and these different people and different roles that we have, but then finding our way back to source and finding our way back to that that center point. So it's almost like I feel like, and I don't know if you feel this way or other contactees feel this way, it's almost like sometimes you get pushed. Here you go. You go over here. This is what you do. And then you're standing there going, what?
Well, I was just about to say, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. All I'm doing is I'm just doing whatever the hell I do. And sometimes it scares me, but I know and I feel within my heart I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so I feel okay about it. But right. I don't have a friggin' clue what I'm doing. And right. I've still right. got that connection. Like, I thought coming to a bigger city, oh, I'm not going to have as many sightings, this and that. I've done more work and had more sightings and experiences in the friggin' city with multiple witnesses and more evidence than I ever have, so it's yes. it's like your experience where you're seeing the crafts before you leave. It's sort of like, yes, yeah. you're not screwed in the head, you know, this is actually going on, and they right. come, you know, they vibrate in, so it's right. very, it resonates with me what you're saying.
Well, and I love what you just said, because I was going to go there a couple minutes ago, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, maybe that sounds a bit ambitious, but it's my truth, you know, so as you know, we become very careful, like sometimes with what we say, at least for me, because, you know, when you have regular contact and it's not the norm for people, you have to moderate what you say. Otherwise, you lose them. And if you have compassion, which, you know, the vast majority of us do, you don't want to isolate this person. You want to, you know, build a bridge and a connection to, you know, have that relationship, you know, and take care of their feelings and tend to that. But what I have to say is that's the thing that's happening now. You know, I had felt, and I was, you know, a little quiet about it, but I felt like whatever some of us carry, you know, we're a bridge and we're a connector with them. And, you know, does everybody have the capacity to do that? Sure, everybody does. I think some of us are just a little bit closer to that vibrational energy than others. And like, they're bridges for us, we're bridges for other people. And that's what's been happening. Like, over the last 6 months, there's been, I've been seeing, finally, you know, I've been seeing the ships, and it's almost like my heart is tuned in perfectly at that moment. And then when I say at that moment, and then you can feel the feeling of like the openness of the ether. Like, you can feel the ether opening in your heart, and then boom, you know, there's the ship, and then other people are now seeing it. So it's like we're tuners in some way with the environment around us. So maybe you moving to the city was to have other people, you know, be able to have their own connection and their own context. So you as a conduit, you know, has now created that exchange so they can have that. And that's one of the things that I feel like is going on with me, is that the resonance that I have with these intelligent beings is one thing, and having what I've got going on the ground level with the people around me, my living environment, you know, the plants and, you know, just the energetics of the physical space, and the land that I'm standing on, like, all of that is now coming into play. So we're helping to create this resonance in order to be able for others and the environment around us to have more of this positive life energy charge. So that's the thing that I think is going on at this point. You know, one of the many.
Yeah.
but yeah. What? Yeah. And then, you know, some of us get thrown into or asked to go into, and of course it's our own doing, you know, into environments that are a little challenging. And maybe for you going into the city, you know, was easier, and maybe for other people, you know, it's a little bit harder, and there's more adjustments and, you know, tuning that needs to take place in order for the resonance to occur.
Well, it's like I said to people, be careful what you ask for, because before I left to go to Queensland or anything, before I moved to where I am now in Melbourne, I was asking for the next level. I was like, I'm ready for it. And I like to say to people, be friggin' careful, because Mary Rodwell, Giles, a lot of people kept on saying, Pete, this is the next level. And I'm like, shit, they hit, because I kept on hearing it. It was the same thing, that this is the next level. And then all of a sudden, everything in the friggin' book is thrown at me in terms of relationships, kids, new place, new environment, more work. And I realized that this is because I'm ready for it. And nothing's like if everything was easy, we would have done it already. And this is where, you know, it's a self. I see this as a self mastery lesson as well as being here for while we're here as well. So being able to deal with this reality and the limitation that we have at this time, and you know, humans not knowing the multidimensional beings that they really are, it's sort of like we've got these veils down and we're trying to do all our little parts at the same time within this conscious energy grid, but you know, everyone's got to pull their weight, but there's a lot more to it than what people think. Where do you think things are going in the next couple of years for us with what's going on energetically and how that's affecting this realm here, and whether it's the negative energies or the positive energies, how things are starting to balance out? Because I know there's a lot of balancing act going on between the male and female energies. And where we are in like galactic plane, basically, everything's like having an effect. Even with the Earth, we're having an energetic effect where the tectonic plates and everything in the solar system seems to be heating up. But really what's happening is the energy affecting within the Earth, and we're getting more volcanic activity, which affects the atmosphere and everything else. So we've got everything in the book in terms of the civilization being thrown at us. What are you seeing, and what's your take on it?
You know, I can just go with the feeling that I have inside, because it shifted. You know, when I was younger, like everything that's going on right now, I had, you know, I had his visions. I knew, like, I mean, even at 7, 5 years old, I knew, you know, like about GMOs and food, about the health of the air, the water, the way that people interacted with one another. You know, I knew that if that trajectory continued, that there would be more of like a mutant human at that point, as opposed to this, you know, bioluminescent universal being, which is, you know, what really this physical body is constructed to be, is an amazing vessel to connect with the cosmos and to, you know, be a remarkable individual on this planet. And so I don't so much have what I would call the visions anymore. I have more of these really strong feelings with a, what I call like a shorter term vision attached to it now. And I think that's because there's so many different energies that are at play. And, you know, so to try to predict something out right now, it's not something that I have in me. So I can only comment on the feeling part of it. So where I feel like we're going in the next couple of years is, and you brought up a lot about the male-female energy. That's enormous.
It is. I mean, it is.
We cannot, because it's so talked about, you know, in so many circles. You know, oh, the rise of the feminine, and you know, the man being able to rise in his feminine, and you know, to create that balance. It is so important, and it's something that I live on a daily basis in my life. For a number of different reasons, and what I see is that, you know, it is this shifting back and forth, and being able to have that balance is incredibly important, because when a man and a woman are able to be in the partnership of their divine feminine and their divine male, they can create amazing things together, and especially, you know, encourage and teach others around them about what right partnership looks like, and having those healthy relations with one another, and especially as it relates to children, because when the children can see the mother, the father, the male, the female operating in that coherent state in a really high vibration, then, you know, we're creating this pathway for the kids. So you know, what I see for these next couple of years is the continuation of the male and female reshifting and coming into balance, and really creating pathways. Because, you know, my belief is that this next generation of kids that are here, these guys are going to be the ones to really do it. Like, they're going to be the ones to really pop over this next phase. So our job, and again, this is just my opinion, is to create those pathways and to be these healthy role models for these kids. They need it. They demand it. They're living in an age where, you know, their cell phone is their connector to the outside world. And that can create, you know, dissension within their being, and then harm the connection that they have with mom, dad, you know, and the people around them. So, you know, to me, that's critical. It's important. The other thing that I see is, like I was saying earlier, these different groups of people now coming together, learning from one another in an exchange way, and not being so separate and solo, or siloed rather, in their environments. And, you know, to me, that cross breeding of knowledge and energy is really important. Like for example, I'll give you an example of this. I got tested recently with an EEG. You know, they did a brain scan,
yep.
And it came up that, you know, I have a kind of a naturally meditative brain, right? And I can go into meditative states really, really easily. And I was tested before when I was younger, so I'm glad, you know, not much has changed. But I'm going to actually get and go through transcendental meditation training. And it's not that I need to learn how to meditate more. I actually want to connect in with what the vibration is with, you know, so many of these thousands and maybe, I don't know, maybe millions of people that are trained in this, because I want to be able to tap into that specific vibration and what that is to, you know, bring in more of the energy on a larger scale. So it really seems the name of the game is collaboration and learning in an exchange from one another. You know, will there be more crazy stuff that happens on the planet? You know, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, you know, as you look on Facebook, you see things pop up in your newsfeed that are horrendous. I don't know if you see that, but I do.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And I don't watch telly, and I'm like, shit, you know, I might as well be watching telly with what I'm seeing half of the time, but it's just the way it is. It's funny he brings up transcendental meditation, because my partner has kept on, had synchronicities with it being brought up, and now I'm having it. So I do meditate. I don't know how, I teach meditation as well. I wouldn't know the type that I even do, because I've got sort of just a way that I do it, but it's something that, you know, I do recommend people, even if it's grounding for 5 minutes, just getting away from electronics and just putting their bare feet on the ground and taking your time out, you know, and taking notice of thoughts rather than, you know, people go, I can't do it because I can't clear my mind. I don't think you're meant to clear your mind from what I've experienced except to rejuvenate and, you know, reboost, because that's how our guides and those we work with and other facets of ourselves get in tune is through thought. It's a universal language, thought.
Yes. Yes. So exactly.
It's like people are trying to keep us away from that, but it's interesting. And it's interesting what you say about the male and female energies and with the earth and what's going on, because people just expect, you know, overnight they can become enlightened and this and that. And I don't think we ever will until we get to like a self-mastery state. And then you're in service mode and you couldn't care whether you're enlightened or not. And It's getting to the point now where we, as a civilization, but individually first, have to clean up our own baggage and sort ourselves out. And enough to do that, it wears off on the collective. And as a collective, we do that, because not only do we have individual baggage, we have collective baggage. Now with epigenetics and things like that, we know that it's not only... Well, what I've been shown in this book that I wrote recently, well, I didn't even write recently, it was wrote through me, was not only are we cleaning up our baggage, we've got ancestry baggage that's put into us that we're also trying to clean up as well, that wears off on the body computer. So the higher, I hate to have higher and lower spirits, but those that I guess have had more of a chance to change this have come through, even though we're living all our lives at the same time, to change this. So now we've got sorting out male and female energies and all this baggage. So it's going to be a little bit rocky, but it's not to say it's all doom and gloom. I think it's best to maybe research and look at some of the negative things that are going on, because you have to be aware of it, but don't let that be where your focus lies.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? I mean, here's real truth and honesty in the sense of, you know, just sharing something really personal. You know, I can meditate. I can go out into nature. I mean, these are natural things for me to recalibrate myself. So if I get a little upset or I feel a little overwhelmed, Or if I feel a lot upset and a lot overwhelmed, if I go surfing or if I go hiking, I go mountain biking or running in the rain, which is one of my favorite things to do. And I, if I do that, I'm fine, like, afterwards. But when the emotions speak so loud and you're hiking, you're biking, you're swimming, you're meditating, you've got, you know, binaural beats on or whatever, and or you're doing something that's in your joy and in your bliss, and you can't shake this one thing off. You can't, no matter where you go, you look to the left, you look to the right, up, down, it's still there, right? And, you know, I've had that happen recently to me in the last couple of weeks, because it's like, this thing that's bothering you is really important to pay attention to. The people around you might not agree with you. They might not like it. However, this is something that you have to deal with. And it's like, fuck, I don't want to. You know, it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. But this is part of the male and feminine energy, in my opinion. And this is part of, as a woman, saying, you know, I am connected to Source. I'm connected to this planet. And therefore, I have a role as a protector of, you know, children or you know, creating a more positive, healthy environment, like what that can look like and what that should be. And it comes through me like so loud is the best way to describe it. And, you know, needing to make adjustments or needing to have conversations with people to work to make sure that you know, those patterns don't get repeated, because this next generation shouldn't be experiencing the things that we've worked to clean up,
yeah.
Right? We're working to clean it up. Okay, that's one thing, but we have to look at what that transference of energy is to, you know, this next generation. And, you know, I do hear people in the spiritual community say, well, you know, this is what this person came in with. This is what they have to deal with. And, you know, you step aside from that, or you know, you see that. I'm like, well, if you saw somebody walking across the street, or rather, let me give you a real example. I saw a gentleman on the rocks the other day, and I live in Hawaii, and the surf was intense, and a lot of tourists don't know that when you climb on the rocks, when the surf is strong, that there's going to be one wave that's going to come and knock you over. And you won't be seen again. You'll be seen floating 5 miles down, you know, wherever the rip decides to take you. And you probably won't be alive. And this woman and I were standing there, and you know, we looked and we said, man, what is that guy doing up there? You know, this is ridiculous. So we're standing there. So do we make the decision to say, hey, bro, get off the rocks, come down? Or do we just watch him and say, well, this is his path, and so be it? So we both look at each other, and at the same time we're like, hey, guy, you know, come off the rocks. So eventually came off the rocks. But, you know, so to me, like, that's the relationship between watching something go off in a trajectory where, oh, it's this person's path, you know, so be it, or saying something and saying, hey, can you get off the rocks? Because you literally, there's a good likelihood you're going to get extremely hurt, and there's a possibility you might get killed.
Look, this is an extremely good point to bring up, because, look, one thing I've learned from doing the work that I do and Sol Rita does, my partner, is that there's points where you can't be involved with people's spiritual journey. Like, you can't even, it's all individual. But what it is what I've noticed, and people might have a go at me, but there is karma only exists if you think karma exists and that's in your program. That's what I've been shown. That's my reality. So
yeah.
Everyone's talking about this karma of cycle, but it's being manipulated by something else, and we're basically a virus that's popped in here to eradicate another virus to get things back on track. So when people say, you know, if you were to leave that dude on the rocks and he got screwed up and whatever, you know, people go, that's his spiritual journey. Well, no, we've still got free will, and it's up to how we deal with the challenges put in front of us. So, you know, when people talk about karma, it does exist if you think it exists, but that's it. And this is where we need to step up for one another and get courage back about, because when we had the oneness, this is what it's about. And now it's only the courageous few that are breaking that barrier and getting this back to where it should be, by an example of what you're saying. It's saying something.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, I think what I've always done is I try to have a balance between taking care of myself and taking care of those around me equitably. That if there's an imbalance, you know, the energy shifts in one direction or another. And sometimes it's okay, like, because there's something that's needed. But
yeah,
eventually it needs to come back to center point, because everybody should be able to be in their wholeness, you know, their true soul self. So, you know, that is something that I think is really important. And talking about the intervention piece, we have intervention. Like, you have it, you know, with the beings that you see and interact with. I have it. You know, so I can be, intervention is, I mean, maybe we call it something different. Maybe it's not intervention. Maybe it's just simply connection, right?
Well, it is, like, I'm finding out, a lot of what I'm interacting with, not all, is other facets of myself. And
right,
you can't tell that to the average Joe that I'm interacting with maybe a Pleiadian or an Orion, and it's another facet of me existing at the same time. And it's like,
right,
fucking nuts, but this is what has been revealed to myself and many others over time. So, and what is it? It's a connection. Now, I must admit, for myself in the beginning, I was so stubborn that the physical interactions were so full on. But once it gets to you meeting them halfway, which is what it's about, and manifesting the other realms into this realm while having a foot in the spiritual realm and this realm having a balance, which I'm glad you brought up that word, because it's friggin' important. A balance, people, you can't be all love and light, you know?
Because it's a calibration. We're calibrating the Earth's energy, like, in terms of, because when you say Earth's energy, it's a very wide topic. But there's human beings in how they are interacting on a vibrational level with one another, like, in a certain part. There's the environment that's around them as well. So, you know, you've got all these different bands of energy that are happening and operating. And, you know, listen, my belief is that if we want this quantum leap in our consciousness, if we really want this, you know, it is happening. There are things that are moving. But as that's happening, there's also a lot of horrendous things that are happening on the planet as well. I mean, that piece, it's not gone away, you know. And who's to say there could be more of it? You know, there may be even more of a chaos point that's being reached. I really don't know at this point. But I do know that there's a calibration between people, the Earth energy, the beings that are in the ships, and it is a meeting. You know, it is a halfway, so to speak. And when we are able to achieve that on a more global level, then we can start to look at really being a player in the cosmos and develop anti-gravity technology and work more with the beings. Because we, as advanced as the most human being is on the planet, we're still not, you know, flying around in our spaceships right now, are we? And, you know, we are children. Even me, I am, you know, even though I have interactions and there's wonderful things I can do, there's still a lot of me as a human being that needs to mature and needs to
evolve. Tell you that, yeah.
In order to be a player in the universe, and we can all walk around and say, oh, we're creator gods. Sure, you're that, yet let's be real, that we are here to learn and grow and to support one another along the way. And to leave that, you know, for me anyways, to leave that positive karmic footprint, because that piece is super, super, super important. So, you know, that's just the sense that I get and where I'm at this point. And I would really, you know, think that that's something that is critical to where we're going next.
It is important to bring up, and, you know, that's the thing, we're here with this reality, we've got things we've got to deal with here, and yes, we're having contact and everything else, but we're still, you know, we're here. This is what I've said to people, we've got to have that balance between both worlds, because there's no use being off with the fairies, being here in this body computer, if you're trying to do, you know, wanting to reconnect with that realm and just be in that realm, because the reason you're here is to manifest some of that here and be part and be active of what's going on here. So you need to have that balancing act. You know, it's just so, it's not complex, it's really simple, but is still, you know, eating well, exercising, treating people how you want to be treated, having these balances in everything, in health and you know, nutrition, exercise, relationships, you know, your emotional, spiritual time, you know, take the religious context out of it.
Yeah.
You just got to have these balance. And more than ever, I'm slowly seeing this play out in terms of people go, why isn't this happening or that happening? And it's because it has to be done slowly. And even once, you know, there is some form of contact or dialogue going on, it's not going to be like little ET getting out of the saucer coming to have a coffee. And
no.
It's got to be done in such a way where we've got to clean up our baggage first and sort of get the right to become part of the cosmos on another level. And I think if people right. knew who they really were, it would blow them away, because I've talked to some people that work in some of these engineering projects. They've got anti-grav, and when they've asked me how the navigation or some of the relationship in the craft works, I've said, look, first off, you need a symbiotic relationship, and I doubt you got the bloody technology to navigate from point A to point B, because I said the shit I'm dealing with is created by thought. So I said, yeah, there are nuts and bolts crafts, and I've been on them, but then when I've been on crafts that are consciously created, it's a whole new ball game, and that stuff surpasses anything we can possibly think of on any level. So,
and thank God, right? Or thank whomever, thank us, our other selves, because if we were zipping around the universe and it wasn't controlled by thought, where would that be? I mean, really, because you know, in all of my contact, it has been about a positive, and I will say this over and over and over, and I've listened to, you know, many folks that talk about contact, and talk about their relationship with the ETs, and you know, there are folks that, you know, really talk about it from the power perspective, you know, like something about I'm more powerful because I have this, or I know this, and, you know, everything about my contact has been the opposite. The power is the power in the sense of, you know, this ability to move from point A to point B and to have, you know, a lot of different knowledge about the way that the universe works, is because it's about a positive life energy connection. And it's about helping, you know, one part to the next. And I remember when the beings came in, they were doing something to my father, and he didn't really have a full recollection of it. And I remember watching this, it wasn't an energy exchange. They were literally, like, reversing his age. Somehow they were taking, and I'll move my hands so you can see it on the screen. They were taking their hands, and what I could see is they were, like, moving him backwards, if that makes any sense, energetically. So he wasn't able to have, in his physical, or rather in his energetic body, to hold on to some of these spiky, like, emotional negative energies. And as a result, you know, he got into a car accident years later, and it was a miracle that he survived, by the way, which is another story for a different day, because it's about heart connection, why he's really here to this day, and you know, that piece is really important. But, you know, my point is that they come because the universe is growing, and universes are growing. You know, life moves forward. It does. It is that fractal. It propagates on itself. And if the template of the propagation is not in a healthy state, then you're going to get a distorted template, right? You're going to get something that's distorted. And like when you see nature, and you see the formation of nature, the beautiful spirals. I mean, our eyes, when we see the spirals in a seashell, or see a spiral galaxy, or see you know, the way that the leaves are, like when you're seeing this beautiful geometry, when you're seeing this perfection, it's something in you that says, wow, you know, that's a gorgeous calibration, that's a beautiful template. And, you know, I believe that this is why the relationship or the intervention is important, because we're doing something to distort it, and we're not creating like this more positive, healthier flow. for genius to occur, for this next, you know, higher vibration of the next being, whatever that is, if it's a human being, or maybe there's another being that created.
This is something that is, of, you know, I'm just thinking I should ask you, because I've had, like, I've wrote a book lately, and just so much information where it was basically written in 9 hours and 9 days, and the shit in it, I just can't come up with. Me missus read it, and I'm just like, what the hell, but there is stuff in it how, right, what's going on here is not just holding back this universe, but other universes, and as a collective with other universes, if we call them, we put them in terms of being a cell of something bigger, which for my body computer they call super god consciousness, where we got god consciousness here, or universal consciousness. I hate to even put a term on it because I don't think we can comprehend it in the body computer at this point, but it was going into how this is the first time this has been done in this universe and the other universes at the moment, and that there will be a time where all this will be, almost be like cell regeneration. You know, every 7 years how our cell regenerates. Well, it's, I was showing this on a friggin' universal level, and I'm not getting trillions or billions, who knows how many years this takes. But once all that happens, all this knowledge that's been gained and these experiences, because basically I was showing that each cell is one consciousness, although there's all these different vibrations in the resonant frequency, all that goes into basically a book of knowledge of its own self because it never experienced any other state, but then it will start over again. But that book of knowledge will go into making sure that those things don't happen in the next regeneration. But there'll be there other screw-ups and things. I don't know. This is where I'm going. This shit is...
It's okay, because I think when you and I had talked before, you know, my most profound experience was, you know, and I was like, what do I do with this? You know, what do I do with this? I was shown and taken over a period of, it happened in my, it happened 20 years ago, then it happened again about 10 years ago. And I was taken and shown a new universe, you know, by these two beings that felt, I think I told you this, but felt like my ultimate mother and my ultimate father, but not in a, an extreme gender role. And they were, they, you know, had taken me and shown me this, you know, amazing creation. You know, to this day, it's the most beautiful thing I've seen, other than, you know, my child or you know, children in bliss. And it's, I remember thinking to myself, like, well, one at the time was, why on earth? Like, I'm not worthy of this. Why would you do this? Like, there's other people that you should be taking here. Why me? And what do I have to do with this? And then, you know, 10 years went by, then the other teaching would come in about that I'm a part of this. I'm a part of creating this. And so therefore, I have a responsibility that since I'm part of creating this, everything that I do here and now is part of moving that information there, because it is the consciousness that creates the, you know, we have to get specific about, well, you know, what is consciousness. But whatever's happening with me now, and I can't speak for anybody else, that I feel I have a responsibility, you know, not just for this plane of existence, it's for the future planes of existence. And therefore, to keep everything as clean and pure as possible, because that's what's being asked. That's what I know internally inside is being asked. And there's times it's very challenging because, you know, you want to do sometimes what's easy, and you want, especially if the environment around you is, you know, it's like swimming upstream, if it's moving you in one direction, and your soul is being asked to go in this one, you know, sometimes it's easier to just go forget it, right? Then the noise comes back in, right? About you have a responsibility to bring forth the pureness of what you know to this next place. And I say the word pure because I'm not sure how else to describe it other than it doesn't have a lot of the chaos attached to it, or even, you know, a little bit of it. it feels cleaner, it feels pure, it feels in its more natural state. So, you know, that's something that I go through literally on a daily basis and try to, you know, and ask myself, like, am I am I bullshitting myself right now, or is this genuinely what I feel, and is this you know, part of this next phase? And you know, sometimes I have to call myself out and go, wait, that's just that part was my ego, and because I didn't like this or that, so how do I need to open myself up more from a loving perspective and still honor this other piece that I know I'm doing? So you know, for me, I'm recalibrating as well on a regular basis about, you know, what I feel is this other responsibility that I've got on my future self level to what's happening right here and now. Does that make sense?
It does, and I do the same. Ego will get in the way, and I smash it, because I go, if I don't smash you right now, I'm not going to evolve. And how do we evolve if we don't? If we have a set paradigm and program, and we don't want that to be broken, you're not going to grow or evolve, because everything's going to... It's like quantum mechanics as they're working out at the moment and doing experiments where basically the experiment's tailored to the observer. So if that's the case, which we know this is the case with consciousness, because we can create things by thought, everything you do within the experiment or the experiment itself is going to be tailored and fit your paradigm. How the hell are you meant to grow or evolve if you do that? You can't, because it's like I'm Mr. Know-it-all. So I think it's important to check... the ego, and to do that, because this is what it's about. It's about learning and gaining knowledge in as many ways as possible. And I think when you screw up, it's okay. And I've said lately on the show that, you know, it's screwed up that when people screw up, everyone points their finger and just gives it to them. But if somebody does something right, you know, you hear nothing, and it's not okay to a lot of people if you screw up. We've all got to screw up. We just have to. It's part of breaking out down our ways and evolving. And I think if you see someone screw up and you let that go in a positive manner, you're actually evolving too, because you're not jumping on the bandwagon of how, you know, we've been programmed to react to people when they screw up. So what you're saying does make sense. And I think it is important that, you know, we do check ourselves, and we constantly, like you said, calibrate where we're at and where we're going.
Right. Again, I think that's super important. So it's like, it's paying attention. I mean, this is the part that I'm dealing with right now, is paying attention to what people are saying around me, listening to my own internal self, and also wondering, okay, well, what part of the fact that I'm having some resistance maybe to what other people are saying is my ego, or is it because it's my soul, you know, saying, no, this is your truth. Yeah. So, you know, it's taking into account all of that, and at the end of the day going, okay, well, what's the next move here? You know, what's the right thing to do? You know, what really feels right. And sometimes it's getting away from everybody and honoring and respecting what they're saying, and honoring and respecting what's coming through at a much deeper level for you as well.
Well, that's the thing. I think sometimes you've just got to go, look, this is your decision, but this is mine. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be where I am now. And now my family and everyone are going, shit, you've done, you know, if you did what we said, you wouldn't be here now. And it's like, of course. And when you go against the grain, it can be so hard, because everyone's going against what you're doing. And it's like, it's very much like yourself and me, though we don't want to, I couldn't care about proving about my experiences anymore, but it's like, we know that the world is round, but everyone thinks it's flat. What the hell do you do with that? You can't do anything with that unless you can physically get in the craft and go, look, the thing's friggin' round, all right? So you've just got, you know, and I think it's good to, like, anchor yourself and get back, center yourself and get back to the heart when you do have times like you're talking about, because to try and work out whether it's another thought form, whether it's your soul telling you something, or if it's somebody's agenda or what they want for you to fit into their program, like, I've lost a lot of family and friends. And it's because I've spoken my truth, and it's not with disrespecting them, it's that I don't fit in their program anymore.
Right.
So what this does is, it's a self-mastery lesson for myself, I see it as, and that if I die tomorrow, it doesn't matter. I've done the best that I could, and I know that once I leave this spacesuit, I couldn't give a shit. You know, I've done the best that I can, so... But while you're here, you've got to deal with them types of things, and it is what people say, what people do. It does hurt you sometimes, depending what it is. But like with kids, you've just got to let things go sometimes and grow and let them learn themselves. And this is where we've got to do that as adults to each other. But within reason. So it's, again, sort of having that balancing act, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. It definitely makes sense. And, you know, and I look back and I look at the decisions that I've made that were not popular with people around me at the time, and knew, though, that I was carrying a stick of truth that was unique to me, that only I could really make that decision at the end of the day. It wasn't for anybody else's to make. And my father gave me the greatest compliment a little while ago, which was great because, you know, he misses me. He misses the fact that I've moved 5,000 miles away with my daughter, his granddaughter. And, you know, but he said, you know what, Susan? He says, your decisions don't make any sense to me at the time. He said, but I've learned enough from you to know by now that what you do and why you do it, there's always a greater reason for it, and we're all better off for it. And he said, so I might not know why you're doing what you're doing right now, but I have faith and I believe in you. And, you know, that to me was a real heart connection with him in regards to this journey, and that it's taken me in places that, you know, has made me uncomfortable, and also, you know, it's taken me away from comforts on certain things, and you know, connection that I have with my family, and you know, the enjoyment that I have in being with them, but knowing that, you know, there's something else that's moving here that's important to do, and that's being called as well. So I don't know, I just thought, you know, sharing that, that to me was helpful, because, you know, when I'm in my quiet time and I can understand really where I need to go next and what's being asked that I do or not do, you know, I'm reminded of that from my dad, and you know, it's helpful to me. You know, I kind of rest into that knowing, and it begins to quiet the noise from, you know, some of the people around me as well.
Now, that's important. And earlier this year, I wrote a book called Breaking Free, and it continues on with my experiences and what I've learned and what's come of it. And one thing that I learned very much so in the past year is that what's holding not only myself back, but a lot of, or everyone back in a way, from getting to their next level is fear and their program of the unknown. It's like, if I do this, I want to do this, but if I do this, I don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes you have to have that leap of faith. And if you go with that faith of that all-knowing part of you, like you're talking about, you just, you know it's going to work out. You don't know why you're doing it, but you're going from the heart doing it. You don't know what's going to come out on the other end, but it's worth doing sometimes, so long as you're doing it with the right intention and coming from the heart. It's worth doing it. And like your dad's saying, you can see down the track, everyone's better off for it. So, you know, sometimes people can't see what things are for at the time, but, you know, it comes into fruition later. Where's things for you now in terms of what's been going on with the experiences, like, as of lately, and what are you doing at the moment? Like, you're in LA at the moment. Are you still living in Hawaii as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I just came here for a very short stay, and I finally had some time for you and I to connect, so that's why we're connecting now. I came here for a really short stay, and I'm coming back in February and giving a talk here at the Conscious Life Expo. So I met with the people last night that are working with that, and that was really a wonderful experience to have that. So I work in Hawaii at the Resonance Project Foundation. So we work on theoretical physics and basically bringing out this information in regards to new energy potential and really new physics with a combination of our ancient origins and bringing that out to the public large. So it's been a remarkable journey to collaborate and to work the way that we have at this point. It's been incredibly encouraging to see how we're able to navigate more into the mainstream community right now. Many people have an interest in this because it's incredibly empowering.
How is the mainstream taking this on board? Because usually it'd be like, this is nuts, if the oil company or the power companies haven't got this or looked into this, we're not going to look into it. But how's it being adapted and looked at by just the average Joe as well?
Because it's interesting, you know, because when you can actually, you know, talk about maybe the structure of the pyramids as a potential other consideration as to how they were built, and talk about different origins around the world and how they used geometry, sacred geometry, to really understand their place in the universe and to maybe communicate with different different beings as well. You know, so when you actually look at our history, people find it interesting. You know, it's less and less weird at this point because of so much that's been on TV and in great movies. You know, there's been a lot of attention about space travel. There's been a lot of attention about, you know, even UFOs, right, and ETs in movies. And because of that, it makes more of what we do, not that we really talk about UFOs or ETs, but talking about the true possibility of space travel and what maybe is needed in order for us to get there from both a physics standpoint and a consciousness standpoint. And so people find it interesting because, you know, to me it's like it's the next phase of where we're going collectively as a maturing civilization, and that's empowering. You know, for the average Jane and Joe, you know, it was always the people that were on the fringe that were like, hey man, you know, I can travel out of body, and hey man, you know, like I took LSD, so I got this trip. So, you know, it was on the fringe for a long time, and now because of, and you gotta love TV. I don't really watch it, but you've gotta love it. You've gotta love movies because they're creating the seed of what's possible in the average person, and that's a really good thing. They don't necessarily always have the story right, as you and I know, with it. So maybe they'll come up with a really good movie one day that really, you know, pops it and nails it. But, you know, for the time being, I think what it does is it encourages and inspires hope in people, and that is a very good thing. So working on that piece right now Hawaii.
With doing that, you've got the theory and the practical, of not the practical, I guess, the physics of it. Is there anything you are putting in the practical in terms of any devices or things you're actually putting it into doing? Like, or is it a bit of both, or how's this working?
Can you be more specific?
Well, I guess with what you're looking at, is building any devices or actually putting this into practical terms rather than just the physics and looking at that side, you're actually manifesting this into this realm in terms of blueprints to devices or anything going down that route?
Well, I can publicly say that there is a patent already out there in regards to one of these devices. So, no, it's not my patent. Yep. It's working on behalf of the foundation that I can say the organization has a patent that's out there. There will probably be others that come available, not exactly of the same genre. However, just as an organization, there'll be other patents that become available. But no, I can't discuss publicly what.
No, so I just didn't know if there was anything in the public domain about that or not. So I thought it would be worth asking.
But what I will say is this. This, to me, again, is probably one of the most important things. To give the knowledge and the education to the community as a whole, right? To be able to give it to those people who are interested. You know, if we talk about this next generation of kids, like, what's the most important thing to give them? The device or the knowledge about how to construct it and what it means and, you know, the greater information in regards to it. So, you know, to me, setting this next generation up to learn how to fish is what we really need to do as opposed to fishing for them. Because and I'm blessed to be able to see these different generations of people that come to work in Hawaii, but also, you know, interacting with kids of all different ages, is that, you know, this generation, they are remarkable. You know, they're really smart and savvy. They have a strong ability to connect with one another. And they, you know, quite a few of them that I've met have been raised by single moms. And so they have a level of compassion that is far beyond what most, you know, men of maybe a certain generation have. And, you know, so we talk about the balance of the male and feminine energy. You know, I'm seeing this younger generation of men come in that, you know, really have a great deal of compassion and empathy for women, kind of right off the bat. So, you know, I'm incredibly encouraged for this next generation. Really, really encouraged. So that knowledge and information in the hands with these right beings and these right people that are gravitating towards it, you know, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Awesome stuff. We'll wrap it up there. Is there anywhere people can get in contact or websites or anything that you would like to just get out there quickly?
Sure. So I've had a blog for a while. I haven't written much on it, but I will be writing more. And that's IET Evolve is the blog. And if somebody wanted to get a hold of me, they can contact me at SusanAKornacki@yahoo.com.
Awesome. All righty. Well, we'll wrap it up there. And thanks, Susan, for being on the show. And I hope to get you back on soon. It's always awesome chatting to you.
All right, Pete. Talk to you soon.
All right. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Aloha.